Okay, Kum Lena Blad Gemara up to Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Actually, we're not up to Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Up to Ein Beis Amud Beis. Middle of learning the laws of Ribbis and Ezer and Neshech. Very bottom of the page. That's exactly right. If somebody transports an object, a package, from one place to another place, and his friend found him, he said to him, you know what, to make life easy for you, why don't you give me this object in the place where you bought it? No, you bought something and you plan to bring it somewhere else to sell it. Where you bought it, it's a lot cheaper, and you're going to transport it somewhere else, and then you can sell it for a higher price. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Tanoli, give me the object here, and I will pay you, you know, let's say in 3 months, and I will pay what price? Not the price from here, but kederach shemala mokas mokim. Why schlep all the way there? I'll take care of it, and I will pay you in 3 months' time the price of what it's going to be over there. In other words, I am prepaying, and I'm paying because because I am paying in 3 months, I'm going to have to pay a premium. It looks like ribis. So the question is, can you do that over here or not? It's cheaper here, and there's more expensive. And because I don't have to pay it for 3 months, I'm paying a premium. It looks like ribis, so it depends. Birshus meichid, if the meichid, that means the seller, took full responsibility, then mutter, that means a what? It's not a loan yet. If the meicher said, okay, I'll do it for you, but it's mine until you get there. So who knows, when did the sale take place? Only when he arrives there. And he arrives there, that's the price. So there's no ribbis, eh? Or b'shus lekech, if the guy takes over and he says, I'm getting it now, so it's totally mine. And if anything happens to it, it's my responsibility. Then why aren't you paying the money right now? You owe me the money already, it's a loan. And then you're going to pay me a premium, then it's usher.
So in the meantime, until he gets to that place, is he a
shomer?
What is he?
Which case? Who's a chayis? Who's a chayis? Which a chayis?
He says if the sale is now,
which a chayis meicher or chayis lekech? That's the thing. Meicher lekech.
No, he says.
That's what the two choices are. There's two possibilities. Meicher means that the meicher says, "I'm totally responsible. You're shomer chinam." So only negligence is responsible for you. So the one about Hamoylich, case number two, Hamoylich paid us little mokal and mokim. If somebody is transporting fruits from one place to another place, his friend found him. Why don't you give it to me? Vani elcha paid us. Yes, there was a mokim. Not that I'm going to pay you when you get there, but I'm going to, over there again, here's cheaper here, more expensive there, but I'm going to give you fruits that I have sitting by me over there. Why schlep all the way there? I will give you fruits equal to the price over there. Im yeshle paid it by some mock. Remember before, there's two things. Either yotza shot or the price is fixed already, so therefore I could have bought it anywhere I wanted right now anyway, so there's no advantage. Or if he happens to have the fruits, he could have taken the fruits right now and then. So if they are paid as by some mock, if the guy doesn't have to go and buy it, he already has it in the store in his warehouse, then mutter is mutter because it already happened. At least it could have happened straight away. However, it's as if the fruit sitting in that guy's yard already belongs to the guy here. It's not like 3 months when I'm going to give you the fruits. It's engaged right now. So there's no aganata here. Physically didn't pick it up for 3 months later. Doesn't matter. But you could have taken away. This is called a...
So what's in it for the seller here? He's not getting money.
He doesn't have to schlep. Big thing.
But the point is, but he's not getting cash either. He's getting food.
Yeah, so he'll just drive there without just schlepping 10 boxes. Oh, it's a big advantage. But only if it's there, because since it's still a vakribis, it looks like ribis. So if it's there, being there takes away the vakribis. However, if him lava doesn't have anything that he has to actually go purchase it, then us it's forbidden. Case number three, Hachamorim. Why? If it's not there, then it's as if you gave me a loan, and the fact that I had the use of the payment for 3 months, I'm paying a premium, and that's no good. What about Hachamorim? Those who ride, donkeys. Mailim b'mokum hayoike k'mokum hazel. That these chamorim, they're the ones, we're not talking about wagon ride, they're the ones who transport and they sell. They go from one place to another place and they buy in one place and sell in another place. So they buy in a cheap place and then they go to an expensive place and sell them. They're allowed to buy from, they're allowed to take money from the bottom of the rich place. And say to them that I'm gonna pick up the produce in the cheap place, and I'm gonna charge you the cheaper. I'm gonna charge you the low price. Not a problem. I'm gonna charge you the cheaper price. Give me, it's $100. I'm gonna go to a big city there. It costs $100 here locally. It's $150. If you give me now the money, prepay the money, I will charge you the $100. Now the chayes, mamash like ribis. because you give me use of the money, I'm charging you less money than what the price is. So therefore, the meicher is getting the lender is getting a revach. That discount that he got is pure ribus. So how can you let him do that? The ain't a chayshin. My time of why? More than two reasons. Rabba says nichalu de megala tara. The guy, the wagon rider or the the camel rider, the donkey rider actually has an advantage. He's not doing it purely because you gave me the money. I'm not giving you a discount because you gave me the money and I have use of the money. You don't give me a discount because when I go with money in my hand to the buyers, to the merchants, they see me over here and they'll give me a good price. They'll talk to me. They see that I'm real. That I'm a seicher. And they'll give me better prices. They'll open the doors for me, and all kinds of conveniences that I wouldn't have otherwise. So it's helping me out. It's not the loan that I'm paying you a premium for the loan. I'm giving you a premium because you're helping my facilitate my business. Or actually, why is he doing it when they hear that that they'll give him a better discount as well? They'll give him a discount, so he should continue going to them. So they're going to give him a good price. My benayah, so in other words, I'm doing it for my own advantage. The borrower is doing it for his own advantage. My benayah, what's the difference? If it's a new seicher that they never saw before, if he comes and tells them a story that I'm going to sell to other people, they give me a good price. They don't never saw him before. You know how many con artists there are. But if he's coming in, he says, "Look, I'm coming here to buy right now. Show me the seicher and everything else." They see money in his hand, so they'll do that. And he's developing a name for himself. So he needs that. So in Surah Ozli, they sell Arbor, they sell four measures for a seller. However, Kfori is another town called Kfori. Ozli, there they sell for Shisa. There it's a lot cheaper. They sell six measures for the same seller. Yoiv Rav Zuzul Chamre. So Rav gave money to these donkey riders. The Kabbalah owns the Orcha. He gave them money. And he took full responsibility, so therefore wasn't alone. It still belongs to Rav until they get to the other place. Vishokl Minayu, and he took from them Chamisha. He didn't take the full six, which he was entitled to. As we just said before, a minute ago, the Chamorim allowed a charge for getting the money up front. They're allowed to give a discount. Rav did not take a full discount. He took a partial discount from six to five. And plus, he did an additional thing. Is he said, I'm taking full responsibility, so it's not even alone until you get there. The new school shisa, so why didn't you just pay the real cheap price, which is six measures for a saw? So we answer, Adam Choshev Shaini. We answer that a Choshev person is different. Because he's a Choshev person, he shouldn't do things that look like Ribas, because people don't understand, and Ribas is very complicated. And the people will constantly watch and mimic what he does. If they see that he does things that looks like Ribas, they don't know this whole cheshbon about a cheaper city, and because Megal Latar, or Meizig Gabay, they don't know all the kind of things. And Ravasi has to make a question. Okay, you said you're allowed to buy this guy because you give me this advantage. Ma'u, Lassus Bigru Toys came. What about other businesses, other geschäft, not when it comes to fruits? For example, pieces of silver, pieces of metal, whatever it is. Do we say, when it comes to fruits, because people are handling fruits all the time, so therefore it makes sense you want to establish a business name and so on and so forth. When it comes to pieces of silver, like shavings and all that, you know, when it happens, it happens. It's like people deal in scrap metal. You know, when it happens, it happens. You can't rely on having to do it every day because you don't know when you'll have it. So maybe over there's no such cheshbon that the borrower is benefiting from it because he can get a better discount, because there's no such thing. It's not a business. Rabbi Shmuel wanted to do this when it came to the linen, and they did not allow him. They said, no, here it doesn't work, this cheshbon. So it doesn't work only by fruits, only things which are commodity that always happens. Economy or a steady business stream. Economy. Rabbi Shmuel did not allow him to do that. What about if you have a vineyard? What happens if a guy wants to prepay the whole year, the grapes for the whole year? It's not ready yet, so I'm taking a risk. I'm buying the crop. This year's crop, and I'm prepaying you now for this year's crop. Yisrav says it is also why? Because you give me an excellent price. Why are you missing the price? Because I'm prepaying the whole money. So that's like an ibis. You, the borrower, have use of my money, and therefore you give me a discount. That's my ibis. If I would have bought it steadily every month, I would have to pay a premium. However, Shmuel's matter. Well, now Rav says, "Kim the kamei shavit vei." If he would have waited this a few months later, he would have paid a lot more. Mischazi ki aganatale. It looks like he's paying him a premium. He was getting a discount because of the other guy has use of the money. Shmuel shari, why? Kivon dahavi beit yua. because there's a risk over here. When your grapes haven't yet ripened, you don't know how many grapes are going to ripen, and there could be a terrible flood and it's going to ruin the whole crop. It's a risk. So exactly, and that's why I'm getting a discount. The discount, this is a purely business arrangement, nothing to do with interest on loan. Exactly, some of the buyer, because maybe there's something more mature and
if there's a frost or a plague.
Exactly, ki agenatale.
Here, you can see here the halach is according to that.
Yeah.
Because this is a silver, even though Shmuel gave a good business value, but because this is a risk and not a business thing.
There's actually a big machlekes in halacha. If ribus is iser or mammon, is it like zeile or is it like iser? And in Shulchan Aruch, it's put in yerideya.
Exactly.
Because the Shulchan Aruch passes like a day that it's iser. Not everyone in Achreinim, everyone has a day, it's a big shock with tayyah. Okay.
You see how the two
sword. Yeah, exactly. Shmuel said, oh, sorry. Umoide Rav, Rav is moide beturi, the nafesh beside. Rav is moide that if the guy uses cows, that in some vineyards they use man to pick the grapes, it'd be easier to use cows to go around all the vines and pull the vines out. And that destroys a lot of the vines. So therefore, the guy is really taking a very big risk. And even Rav is moide then that this is not the reason why he's paying a discount is because he's losing a lot of the grapes and losing a lot of the vines, not because of any interest prepaying. Shmuel said to these balabatim that they used to have an arrangement with a sharecropper. They used to give the sharecropper the seeds to plant into the ground as well. In other words, the way a sharecropper works is, why is a sharecropper getting a chelik in the ground? A third or a half or a quarter, whatever it is, of the prop. Not only because I want to make sure that he's going to work very, very hard, but he has to put the seeds in there. So his responsibility is to buy the seeds and put it in. So he's mashkiya money into the geshäft as well, not just his time. And that's why he gets a half or a third. What if he doesn't have any money? So he turns around to his partner, or the owner of the farm, and says, can you lend me seeds? And he does, and then at the end, he gives him a half and a quarter, whatever it is, and plus he pays some of the seeds, or it looks like that the half and a third and a quarter he's giving me as a ribus to the, I lent him seeds, and he's giving me back seeds plus a half of the produce, whatever it is. It looks like there's a ribus going on over there. So, therefore, we say, says Shmuel was machmir, he tells the balabatim who lent the money for the seeds, hafeichu ba'ara, I want you guys, gufa, to go ahead and till the ground, ki heiched the konilichu gufa da'ara, in order that you should have a kinyan in the ground itself. Because if you don't do that, havilichu kahava, the whole thing or all arrangement looks like a loan where you're giving him seeds and he's giving you back seeds plus fruits. But also, and that's forbidden. Rav said to those people, these guards, these watchmen, who watch these fields out in the plateau, who watch these fields, and they watch them until the harvest season, because I guess Ganov used to come and break in the night and right before the harvest, and steal the crops. I want you guys to help in the actual threshing of the tefuah out there. Why? Because what happens is, you guys don't get paid until the end of the season. And you get a big bonus. So it looks like, because they should be paying you every day. And it looks like because they didn't pay you until the very end, that it's like a loan, you're lending them back the money, and they're giving you a bonus. That's ribus. So therefore, however, if you had to work in the ground itself, then you're not entitled, then you, being that you are a worker for the harvest, you're not entitled to get paid till the very end. So therefore, there's no loan here. He shouldn't owe you your rent until the very end. That they don't get paid until the very end. Okay, so therefore there's no loan and no bonus at the end. There's no ribus. And therefore, at that moment, they gave you the price they gave you. They told him that you, what you're suggesting here is like ribis. The kuli alma, everyone takes shakli, everyone takes arba, everyone takes four, let's say kurin, for a field, and masalkila risa benisin, and they pay their oris, they pay their sharecroppers and nisin. In other words, they force them as soon as the harvest season is ready to come, they force them to harvest and they give them their shares. And they get rid of them. Umar not lo ad ir, but you wait until ir before you get your sharecroppers, and then v'shakel shisa, and you take a larger amount. So it looks like because you didn't take anything from them, you're charging them more for the end. V'shamal lohu atin kavin. You guys doing the wrong thing. Ada la'oris mishtabit. You're chasing away Nissan. The difference is Nissan, the crop is not fully ripe. In Iyar, the crop is fully ripe. By you chasing away Nissan, they're not getting the full portion of what they're supposed to be getting. And remember that an artist has a right to the land. He's not just a worker. He has the land is mishubed. He said, Ada la'oris mishtabit. The land, in a way, is indebted to the artist because he's doing everything. I said, but you guys are doing the wrong thing. He asked him, if you're going to chase him away, Nissan, you're making them lose a bit because you prematurely forced them to harvest. And no, I, Natanelu ad ear, I wait until ear, umavachdalu bekama. And therefore, there's a benefit for it. A certain amount. Bekama, the field, yeah, certain amount. Yeah, but there is a larger yield because the fruits are more ripe and bigger. Yeah, but everything is bigger.
So they're both better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not because the reason why I'm getting more in ear is not because even if they give me more, it's not because I let them another month to work this, so therefore it's like some kind of ribus on a loan. It's because they're getting a better crop. They're happier.
It depends on how the field produces.
Exactly. Rav Mori Baruchel. Now we have Rav Mori Baruchel a number of times, and Rashi says over here that Rav Mori Baruchel was Shmuel's daughter. Shmuel's daughter was kidnapped, and the kidnapper was a goy, forced her to marry him. And then this person was Megayer. His name was Isser Geyer. We find him in Shas all the time. Isser the Geyer. He was Shmuel's son-in-law. He was a goy. Kidnapped the Shmuel's daughter. I mean, just try to picture this. Shmuel, the big yeshiva. His daughter was kidnapped by going, married a goy, and then he converted. And they had a son, and his name was Rav Mori, and he's mentioned in Shas all the time. So he's a big Talmud Chacham. Looks like he was.
Did Shmuel? Story
in
its own. Yeah. Is that interesting? Because you've got to ask how much was his tshuva. Rashi says here that Mori, we refer to by his mother's name out of covet for him. We're not mentioning his father, Isaac Yoda, as a...
To show that he was a Yid. People started talking, he's the son of a goy. So therefore, they always call him Baruchel.
So I'm saying, was for a tshuva, how his father did tshuva in a chanami, but we still don't refer to him because it wouldn't be covetic for his son.
What's the difference if he converted? He kidnapped. That's a big sin.
Yeah.
It's interesting, they paskin that you go according to the mother, because it's there that you said you go according to the father.
Yeah, we know he's just saying like that shit because I was covered of the.
No, but I'm saying there's a dead.
Yeah, it's machlekes tesis. Yeah, we had it in kedushin.
What
sorry.
What covered to him if he kidnapped?
Because now he's a frum yid. He realized he made the wrong thing, and she's happy to stay married to him. But she agreed to marry him. I mean, she agreed. After he was megaya, she had to agree because once if he became megaya, she can. You can tell. They can say to him. You go again, give her a divorce. But obviously, she agreed to stay married to him. And Taisa says, and Rashi says that Rav Mori was conceived while he was still a goy, born after he became a yid, but conceived while he was still while his father was still a goy. Yeah, converting. Yeah, looking at it, they didn't have it much better in those days than we have today. Rav Baruchel wants to lend money to a guy, and the guy gave him a pledge, a house. He's a hodah zovne l'rava. Then the guy turned around and sold this very house that he gave as a pledge to Rav Mori. He sold the rava. And Taisus says from here, you learn out a very interesting halacha. This is the mocker, says Taisus, that if you own an apartment, if I own an apartment and I'm renting it out to somebody, I have a right to sell it to anybody I want. But even though there's a tenant in the apartment, how are you allowed to do that? Because we learned before that renting is like you bought it. Remember, schidus liyema kemem kiliyema, like you bought it. So say this is the mocker right here.
You have a right to sell it
to sell anybody you want.
While the person's living there.
Yeah.
But not if you made an agreement with him, you can stay there the whole year.
That's something else. If you have made, but I can still sell the house.
Ownership can change. Pay them to rent to a new landlord.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But how is it right? And then, so this guy sold it to Rava. Not to trace a yachashos, so Rav Mori, lived in that house. Rav Mori lived in that house. The guy gave him as a pledge and Rav Mori moved in. He waited a whole year. Shakal aga besa. He waited a whole year. He took the rent of the house. Amtilele brought it over. So according to Rashi's version, Tosfos has a different version. According to Rashi's version, he prepaid the second year's rent. He didn't pay the first year's rent. Amale, he says to Rava, you're not the new landlord. You want to know why I didn't pay you? Hi, lem toy lemar aga besa. Didn't you know why I didn't pay you until now? This time, mashkanta shos, because we learned more before, a mashkin, when you give someone a pledge, you don't the specify for how long, it's a year. Anybody know, the salgla, motim salgla, we had before, there's two kinds of mashkin. There's a mashkin where you cannot chase me away, and a stam mashkin is a year because he cannot chase me away prematurely. So because he cannot chase me away prematurely, then it's my house during this year. Why am I going to pay rent? Now that the year is over, if he wants, he can take the property back. Even though he still owes me the money, but he wants, he can take the property back. So therefore, you're now the rightful landlord, and I'm going to stop paying you rent. Said, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that you have the yadayin. If I would have known, if I would have known that the goy owes you money, and he gave you this house as a pledge, and then lo havi is a vinule, I would never bought it in the first place. Hashed now. Kedidem avdin lach. Will follow the laws of the goy. Kolemas le mesalki bezuzi. As long as he doesn't pay you, the law by Goyim is that if you give a mashkin and you don't specify how long, as long as he didn't pay you back the loan, you don't have to pay him the rent. So your rent of this house, I'm not going to charge you. Even though I'm the new owner, I'm not going to charge until that guy pays you back. Tez already asked why doesn't he just why doesn't he just take the rent and count that as if
that's
the payment that the guy owes him, because the truth matters between him and Rav, nothing to do with the guy. The guy still owes him the money, so the guy should pay. Anyway, Amar Rav Barnish Rav Ashi, Rav from Barnish said to Rav Ashi, I see that the rabbis, they're eating ribbis. How do I see the rabbis they're paying ribbis? Because the yovers of the chamre b'tishrei, they pay for wine tishrei. Remember, tishrei is the cheap time of the year. They pay for wine in tishrei umivchu b'tevis, and then they go in tevis and they select the wine on tevis. The wine is a premium price. They prepay tishrei and then they take tevis wine, and they're getting it the price of tishrei. So because they prepaid and the seller has use of the money, so it's like a loan, because till tevis is like a loan. And they're getting a benefit from it. That's the ribbis. Omalei said to him, no, inu nami, they too, acham l'kayove, achal l'kayove. They only want to buy. See, in Tishrei, you cannot tell yet which wine is going to ferment and turn sour and which wine is a good wine. They only paid money for wine. So they're smart. Is mi kara de chamre chamre chol chol. The truth of the matter is, Tishrei ready. They only paid for wine. So in theory, if they would have known which is the wine, they could have picked it up in Tishrei and taken only the barrels of wine. But you don't know until Tevis. But whichever barrels of wine which they put in Tevis is what they bought in Tishrei. Just because now they're able to select, now they can tell already. Because those wines which will go off in Tevis ready, 3 months later, they already started going off, you can smell. So there's nothing to do with ribis over here. So now they can tell which is the good wine, which is wine and which is vinegar. Because even back then, the barrels of wine were wine. Just we didn't know about it. And lochol, and the vinegar was vinegar. It's only what they're doing in Tevis is they're not buying it then. They bought it in Tishrei. But then they're realizing, what did they buy in Tishrei? Ravina gave money to the people of Akra, the city called Akra de Shanvasa, next to a river called Shanvasa. So he gave what he was. He prepaid for the wine. When it comes to the harvest, he'll get his wine. As a result of that, they used to give him a little bit extra wine. So it looks like because he prepaid, they gave him a bonus. That's like ribbis. So he went to Ravashi to ask a shayla. Can't I? Amalei mishodi, is this allowed to do? Or not? Am I allowed to take this or not? Amalein, yes. Yes, you're allowed to, because since you did not, if you would have made up with them conditional, I'm paying you now 3 months early. As a result, I want to have some extra wine. That's mamash ribis. You didn't make anything up. They on their own decide to give you a bit extra. That's they are meichel you, and they don't mention also that they're meichel you. Teacher has a question before in the Gemara that if you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to then move into the property without paying rent, even though you didn't make it up because it looks like ribus. So what do you mean you didn't make it up? It still looks like ribus. So Teacher makes a chilek when the loan is over and repaid, or when you still owe the money. In the case of the before in the chatzah, the guy owes me $100, and I move into his chatzah, and even though it's a chatzah that maybe you don't normally rent, it looks like ribus because the loan is still outstanding, and I'm getting some benefit. So even though we didn't make it up, it looks like ribus. The rabban. Over here, you already paid me back. I paid you the money. You already gave me all the wine for the money. And now, after that, you give me extra wine. So there's two things there. It's after the loans have been paid up, and we never made it up. It's not like something that we agreed on that you're going to give me extra. So therefore, we call that mechila. We call that mechila. So in other words, after the event, you give him a ton, you're allowed to. You know, remember, you're not allowed to give him a ton, we'll see later in the if you borrow with interest, but if you already paid back, I can give him a ton afterwards. There's no longer ribis. I have another problem. Interesting. The problem is, people who didn't pay tax, like in America, what happened with the GFC, people who couldn't pay the banks and the houses, they just walked out of the house. And in America, not like Australia, you cannot, if a house, they cannot bankrupt you. If you walk away from your house, they cannot touch you. Not like here. So people just walked away. You have hundreds of thousands of houses with no balabatim. So what happened was, it used to happen, the Gemara says, that by taxes, people couldn't afford the tax. They just walked off the land. So what happened? The rich people who had cash, they would go in and pay the tax and didn't buy no land. They paid the tax and just took over the land. They seized the land. So he asked Rav Ashi, am I b'chalal to take? Are they going to have him? Because these are rich people who took someone else's land. They just paid the tax. Are they going to have him?
By walking out, did they give it back?
No, they're just scared. They don't have what to pay.
So in other words, he was dealing with these guys who did this thing.
Because they were the only ones who... Yeah. Now he's having pangs of guilt over here, a little conscience. Rachmanis and the Ormalite, who lost all their properties. Is it a problem? That's not true. He says, the land belongs to the ones who pay taxes. This is the Machosina. The king says, the government says, man, you have task. You pay your land tax, you own the property. You don't pay land tax, you forfeit the property. So it's dinam al-chus din, as Ashi explains. I see these rabbis, they pay the head tax on behalf of third people. And then I'm a shab de behutfe, and then I see them subordinating these people, making them work for them like a slave. In other words, every person had to pay, besides a land tax, it was a head tax. What are they called? A poll tax. Okay, you pay a poll tax. And if somebody didn't pay the poll tax, they would step in, they would pay the poll tax, and then they own you. Literally, they own you. And they used to enslave them. Amalum hashta. So this is what do you call it? Papa said to Rava. So Rava said, wonderful, you asked me this question. He said, Amalu, hashta now, eichesh chiva. If I would have died, I could never, we never told you this thing. Thank you for asking the question. This is what Rav Sheshe said. He said, Muhur Kayu. They used to wear like a, I don't know, around the collar or something, like a, to show that you're a slave, some kind of a ring or some kind of a necklace that they used to wear to show that they were a slave. A door collar. The honey, Betavs of the Malka, belongs to the treasury of the king. And Malka, Mandalev Kargil, Ishtabla Mandalev Kargil. And the king says, the government says, if those who don't pay tax, owe their lives to those who do pay tax. As Rashi says, dina de malchus dina. So this is not, any law which is universal, not subject only against the Eden, but universal, is dina malchus dina.
What if I teach this in the dole office? So the people who pay their tax are supporting everyone else.
That's true. Rav Sa'idam, Achve de Rove, Rav Sa'idam, the brother of Rove. Rav had a brother called Rav Sa'idam. Have you ever come across his name anywhere else? Havitaki, what he used to do was he used to force Inshe de Leimala, people that were not good, the bad people, Umayilu, and what he made them do was Begoharka de Rava. He tied them to the wagon of Rava, and they used to schlep Rava around. What are those called? The rickshaws. What do we call those? Rickshaws.
Yeah,
rickshaws. They used to schlep them around of Rava. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, Shapik Ovid. My brother, you're a good man. The Tanina, you did the right thing, we learned. Ra'isa she'enu noye kishud. If you see a yid not behaving properly, Menayin sha'ator ha'shoyi lishtaba boy. How you know you're allowed to enslave them? Tamalema, it says apostle. La'olam hem tavayit. It's talking about goyim. He should work for you, for a slave for you forever. Uva'acheichem. And then it says the pasuk about chechem bnei Yisrael. Don't do it, but just put a comma afterward of chechem. Your brothers sometimes also you can enslave them. When they behave like goyim. Yochel, I feel no sure if a yid behaves properly, you also allowed to abuse it and enslave him. Tam loim ravach chechem bnei Yisrael, ish barachi, but if they behave like a man to a brother, you're not supposed to. They're pretty tough, these rabbis. No heart. Omer Rav Chama said, "Hi man, you have to lechavre. If somebody gave money to his friend, lemizbe lechamre to purchase for him wine, uposh of lezomle. I gave this guy money. Go ahead and buy me wine in a cheap place, and he didn't. And now it's a few months later, the prices were skyrocketing. What does he have to pay back? Just the money, or I give him buying me 10 gallons of wine, and now 10 gallons of wine costs more? Does he have to buy me?
Isn't that if he pays back the wine?
Yeah, but it's not a loan. I gave you money to buy, and you did not carry out your duty. You were negligent." What's your, now you owe me compensation, what do you owe me? Yeah, what do you owe me? You owe me for the $100 or you owe me 10 gallons of wine, regardless of what the cost is today?
No, because as soon as he didn't buy the wine, he's a shliach.
No, he isn't. No. Pasha v'lei zavonlei, so it's like you're a mazik. I would have bought it myself if I would have known you wouldn't have gone. Mishalim lei, he has to pay him, kidiko ozil, the way it's go the price now, afar vosa de zushulfat. It's the name of a place called afar, the markets of zushulfat. Over there, the big place they sell wine.
When I'm your agent for buying the wine, do I get paid for it?
I gave
you. What obligation have I got to buy you wine?
Because you agreed. No obligation. Then you should have taken it.
Your word.
You agreed.
Shouldn't have taken the.
Exactly. You should. I will try. But the fact that you committed. But that's what's that? Not over yet. I said over this dinner before Abzina Nadoi. You know what? That I gave you money, and assuming, expecting to get back 10 gallons of wine, and then you didn't. You were negligent, and now 10 gallons of wine costs a lot more. You have to reimburse me with 10 gallons of wine. I repeated this whole sugi over to Rab Zvid. Omar, he said no. He qualified it. Ki kama Rav Chama, when did Rav Chama say this din hanimil b'yayin stam? I said, buy me 10 gallons of wine without giving any brand or anything else. I will be yayin zef. I said, I want you to buy dafka this wine. Then loy. Then you don't have to reimburse me. You know why? Because there was no guarantee that you'd be able to buy this wine. I could never have said, I knew for 100% that you're going to buy this wine. Maybe they ran out of this particular wine, or maybe they don't want to sell them this particular wine. If I say, stop, buy me 10 gallons, it's impossible that you cannot find 10 gallons of wine. But if I specify a specific type of wine, could be that you wouldn't have gotten it. So it's not 100% that you were mazik me. Therefore, you don't have to compensate me.
When you're asking somebody to buy wine, you're asking for a favor.
100%.
So what,
when you agree to a favor, you have a responsibility to carry it out. Simple as that. Don't do people favors.
Now the guy's relying on you. That's
exactly. But it's not over yet. Not everyone agrees. But we'll see. Who said that that guy will sell it to you? Rav Ashi disagrees. He says, he doesn't have to compensate you. He argues like Yehuda. He just has to give you back the $100, but doesn't have to give you 10 gallons of wine. Why? My time, even though the guy guaranteed, yes, I'll buy you the wine. And even if he said, if I don't buy you the wine, I will, if I don't find it, I'll pay you the back, you know, whatever the full, the current price of the wine. It's only a smachta. What do you mean? Because the guy thought he'll be able to buy it. Vasmachta le kanyan, therefore there's no kinyan here. Says the Gemara, according to Ravashi, he said that what? So the first part of the Gemara says that you have to compensate me and buy me 10 gallons of wine. Ravashi says, no, smachta l'kanyan, there's no kinyan, there's no commitment, and therefore all you have to do is give him back the $100. Well, Ravashi, Maishno, how is this any different from Hadatanan? We learned, if somebody, if I get your field and I have to work in the field and I'll do half. What happens? I did nothing to the field. So we assess how much the field kind of produce it could have produced that year, and the guy has to pay it back. It's not. He says, "Im oivid v'loy avid." If I'm lazy and I don't do anything in the field, ashalim b'mei tov. I'll pay you as if I did work in the field. Nu, what's a chiluk? How come over there we say taka has to pay? What's the difference in the case of the wine and the case of the field? In the case of the wine, we say asmachta l'kanya is not a commitment. You don't have to pay the compensation. And in the field, you do. And for the gemara, hasam b'yodei hachala b'yodei. And that's what follows. Over there, in the case of the field, I could have done the field. I could. It's up to me, and I didn't. I'm responsible. In the case of wine, I still need someone else to sell it to me. I am not in control. And because I need someone else to sell it to me, that's an asmachta in a koine. And this is the problem with Shittas Rashi and Sanhedrin. We learn just opposite. We're talking about Megiddo Sanhedrin. Okay.